I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Greetings and welcome to Hello Pine Knob, the official podcast for the Pine Knob Music Theater in Independence Township, Michigan. I'm your host, Gary Graff, back for a third season of documenting everything that goes on in one of the country's oldest and busiest amphitheaters. We've hit mid-August, but there's a lot of time left in this year's Pine Knob season. Another 7 weeks of shows, in fact, stretching us into early October. On this week's episode, we talk to a trio of Pine Knob mainstays, two of which are performing there soon, and another that will be elsewhere but has a lot of very special moments from years past. The Doobie Brothers have been around longer than Pine Knob. The group is in its 54th year, though it's continuing a pandemic-delayed 50th anniversary tour it began during 2022. Founding members Tom Johnston and Patrick Simmons are again playing with longtime bandmate John McPhee and Michael McDonald, who was part of the band during the late 70s and early 80s when the Doobies won Grammy Awards for its Minute by Minute album. The Doobies have played many shows at Pine Knob dating back to the early 70s, and Simmons tells us he's happy the current tour is continuing as it has for the past 3 years.
It's a lot of fun, actually. I enjoy it. You cover a lot of ground. You get to cover different kinds of music than you would, you know, having Michael with us. And this just kind of encapsulates everything the band was about. Is about, shouldn't say was.
We are having a good time. Kind of continuing what we've been doing for the last 50 years, but having Mike on board is something new. He hasn't been with us for, gosh, over 30 years now, really.
What's Simmons' perspective about why the Doobies and their music have endured for so long?
In terms of our success, it really is the songs and the talented guys that write the material, I think. We have a great band. We've always had really great musicians, so I think that really stands. That really is long lasting in terms of how people perceive the band at any given time. We always had great players, you know, great singers. Everybody was allowed. Allowed is not the word. Everybody was able to present their ideas and participate with everything in terms of writing, arranging, any creative ideas that helped with the formation of the tunes. Everybody was a part of that, and I think that was a real strength, and still is. It's kind of things we still do things pretty much the same way for the most part.
But Simmons acknowledges that his outlook on the Doobies and his career has changed and grown over the years for the better.
I think as artists and so on, you know, your ego is involved with what you do, and you spend a lot of time up here in your head, trying to be creative. And you know, you have a certain, you get a little over the top with, at some point, it wasn't always this way, and it kind of something that develops with image. What is that? Is it something that you invent? Is it who you really are? Do you want to perpetuate it? Do you want to back off from it? What do you want out of it? I have found for myself that taking things a little lighter in terms of, your expectations, you certainly want to speak up in terms of, you know, when you have a concept or an idea, something that you think will benefit the band. But at the same time, I listen a lot more to other people, which I probably didn't do as much when I was younger. And you're always kind of thinking that you have answers that's sometimes you never had in the first place, and the answer you had was wrong, you know, a lot of times. So I really listen to other people a lot more, and I respect kind of the wisdom of others. You know, it's not all about, your own experience or what you think you bring to things. It's what you can receive from others that really is probably more important than anything, to be honest with you.
This year, meanwhile, marks the 50th anniversary of one of the Doobie Brothers' biggest hits, Blackwater. Initially released as the B-side of Another Park, Another Sunday from the 1974 album What Were Once Vices Are Now Habits, Blackwater gave the Doobies their first number one hit, surprising even Simmons, who wrote it during a tour stop in New Orleans.
And then Blackwater suddenly hit, and it was like, you know, the album suddenly took on a new life. Other songs were getting played. You know, those were the days FM was kind of new still. So it wasn't all about your single, but the single was the thing that put it on the radar. And then from there, you know, FM radio would, you know, really perpetuate your momentum much further than a single song ever could. It just took a whole album and made the experience much more rewarding for everyone, I think. But so that's kind of where that went. And we didn't really expect that to happen.
Simmons says the Doobies will be giving their fans some new music soon, too. The group's last album, Liberté, came out during 2021, and they're again working with producer John Shanks, and this time incorporating McDonald into the recording mix.
I thought, you know, as long as we're doing all this, you know, it would make sense to do a record. I think people would really get a kick out of that. So we have yet to find out whether they'll get a kick out of it or we'll get kicked for it. There's some killer, really great songs on the record. You know, there's some kind of probably some predictable kind of things maybe in terms of what people would want to hear from us. But there's just these some ferocious tracks that are just great live kind of songs.
Once again, that's the Doobie Brothers with Steve Winwood at 7 p.m. Thursday, August 15th at Pine Knob. Back for another year at Pine Knob is Brett Michaels and his Party Gras 2.0 show, taking place Friday, August 23rd at Pine Knob. It's a concept he launched last year, at Pine Knob, in fact, and this year's lineup features fellow performers Chris Jansen, former Foreigner frontman Lou Gramm, former Eagles member Don Felder, and Twisted Sister's Dee Snider. Brett tells us this year's Party Gras is even bigger and better than what he took out on the road during 2023.
We had such a great experience, and it's grown. Six of these music festivals are going to be insane with the lineup we have, with especially with Chris Jansen. The week we're announcing he has a number one song, you know, a number one country song. But he's one of those guys like me. He loves his rock and roll, you know. And then you got Don Felder from the Eagles opening up the whole evening with nothing but Eagles hits. You know, Hotel California, Life in the Fast Lane, and then Dee Snider comes on stage and joins me and Lou Gramm, and then eventually Chris and Don by the end of the night. We all pick some songs out and just make it, again, as I said last year, a celebration of all the fans, the bands, the music, everybody. Everyone in the building just treating them great.
Brett says he's particularly looking forward to all the classic songs that will be part of this year's show.
Well, I think, first of all, it starts with the music. You know, you look at Lou Gramm, right? We got Lou Gramm, the original voice of Foreigner, and I can't even count the amount of hits. You mix that up with Dee Snider and his hits, the Poison hits in our catalog, and you mix that with Don Felder of the Eagles and Chris Jansen, who's a country sensation at the moment. But what I found is that you take those personalities, I've called each of them are friends, I call them on the phone, and what I think equals much bigger than just let me word this right, what I think makes it come together is, besides the friendship and the chemistry, is you mix it with the timeless classic hits and a lot of energy, and I think that that's what it is. It's hit songs. People feel like they're having a great time. They're singing. There's no bathroom breaks.
And Brett promises us this year's Party Gras won't only sound good.
One of the things I'm revealing this year is last year, I got down to making it smell good. Like, I literally made sure our hazers had coconut rum hazer, so you felt like you were on the islands. People are like, man, smells, I don't know what it is, just smells good up here. And I'm like, yeah, throwing a little coconut rum you could dump that into the hazers a little bit, and it just smells good. You know what I mean? It smells like you're, on the islands hanging out, or, whether it's Florida, or you're going to any of the Caribbean or Caribbean island.
Brett's certainly no stranger to Pine Knob, of course. He played there 18 times with Foreigner and twice on his own, including a June 2010 stop when he came 2 days early to sing Margaritaville with Jimmy Buffett. Suffice to say, he loves him some Pine Knob.
Pine Knob is my true one of, let me say this, Pine Knob is one of my true stomping grounds. We, as Brett Michaels and Poison, right, I've been there both solo and with Poison, we hold the record for the most beer ever sold, so that leads right to Party Gras, right? They have a big plaque on the wall. And to be able to come back to Detroit, I think everyone out there knows I love Detroit. It's our opening night of this music festival with Live Nation. On a Thursday night, Pine Knob, I want to give it a major congratulations. It has been voted Amphitheater of the Year, and that's incredible. And just such a good time. Honest to God, the fans party, they rock. We have this big thrust that goes out there, and to be back at Pine Knob is going to be incredible. And remember, some of the best kickoffs to both Poison and for me, when Poison got reunited again in 99 after a couple years hiatus, we kicked off in Pine Knob, and it was awesome. And to be back to Pine Knob is, we're going to make that an absolute party.
Do you have any good specific memories about things you did there?
I have so many good memories about everything there. Not only me playing, but one of the ones I want fans to see, if they go to the YouTube and look up Brett Michaels, Jimmy Buffett, I redid Margaritaville. So I played there the night before. I stayed. Watched Jimmy Buffett, went up and sang Margaritaville, and he looks at me and he goes, do you know all the lyrics? I said, bring it. I know this song front to back, not the drunken version. I know the full version. And we had the best time. If you watch that video, you will get a kick out of it. It is incredible. And we ended up sending it out as a live recording, and also went to see Dave Matthews there. But one of my best times ever is the night we broke the record for the most beer sold. We were there two nights, and it was probably one of the best continuous parties, and I ended up just sleeping in the dressing room, woke up the next day, took my dirt bike out in the big-ass parking lot up top, had the best time ever, and went back and played another show.
Brett isn't the only one having a good time at Party Gras. Lou Gramm tells us he enjoys the opportunity to be part of the party and sing Foreigner's big hits each time.
I have a lot of fun performing with Brett and his band. He's a great character, great guy, and he always makes things easy for whoever guests with him. I think there's going to be two or three singers with him this year. I get paid well, and I have a lot of fun on stage, and that's kind of nice to not have to think about carrying the show, just singing some songs and having a good time.
Lou is also celebrating Foreigner's upcoming Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction, which will take place October 19th in Cleveland.
It feels very good. It feels long overdue, but it still feels good. I was not feeling good that our peers were in years ago, and we were completely neglected, I personally had given up that we would ever be considered. I didn't even think about it anymore, to be honest with you. So this was a big surprise to me, I didn't want to be I didn't want to be excited about it when I heard, and I didn't want to be amped up or get my hopes up, you know, because of just the way things have gone down in the past. I was like, okay, that's good.
That's Bret Michaels' Party Gras 2.0, taking place at 7 p.m. Friday, July 23rd at Pine Knob. Incubus is not playing Pine Knob this year. Instead, the California group is bringing its latest tour to Little Caesars Arena on Friday, August 23rd. But Incubus has played Pine Knob a dozen times, starting in 1998 on the second stage at Ozfest and including dates with the Lollapalooza and Area One tours. Most recently, the group was at Pine Knob in 2022, and frontman Brandon Boyd tells us how much the venue means to his band.
I mean, we've played there so many times. We played there so many times before we headlined that venue. I think we played it again with the Ozfest in 2000. We did it with Lollapalooza. I think we did it as well on Area One with Moby and Outkast. So many memories from that place. It so much so that when we don't play that venue on a tour, something feels like it's missing. You know.
Boyd tells us too that the first Ozfest performance in 1998 was particularly memorable.
It was one of the first like stick out memories for me of being on tour. Actually, we played in the parking lot there amongst the pine trees on a side stage on the Ozfest in 1998, I think it was, when we did our first Ozfest. It was either 98 or 99, probably 98. And I remember when we walked on stage, and it was sort of in a parking lot, but the parking lot was filled with people. You know, very enthusiastic, even at whatever it was, like 1 in the afternoon when we were playing. And I loved playing with the pine trees all around us. And I think it created some type of an acoustic trap of some kind. So it sounded really good. And I also remember that morning, this is a real thing. It's going to sound ridiculous, but it's a real thing. That morning, before we even played, I walked out of our tour bus. I was going to walk towards the catering tent to grab some coffee. And Lemmy from Motorhead was already up and sunning outside of his bus on like a lawn chair in the parking lot. And he was just wearing his underwear. And he was lying on his stomach and just kind of like luxuriating in the Michigan sun in the summer. And it burned into my eyeballs to see Lemmy in his underwear that early in the day.
Those are some great memories from Brandon Boyd of Incubus, which is playing Friday, August 23rd at Little Caesars Arena. Information about all Pine Knob concerts and other shows in the metro area can be found at 313presents.com. That's it for this episode of Hello Pine Knob. Our thanks to all the performers for taking time to chat with us. Hello Pine Knob is produced by Ryan Anderson and is available via Odyssey, the 313 Presents website and social media, or wherever you get your podcasts. Until our next episode, I'm Gary Graff. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you out on the lawn.